From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak as we continue our study of the law of God. For a number of weeks, due to a prolonged period of overseas preaching engagements, I'll not be commenting on the topics of interest that I have been covering day by day. That will give us longer each day for the Bible study, and given the vastness of the subjects we're covering, that's probably a very good thing. So stay tuned for today's study as we consider the subject of the spirituality of God's law. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I have been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll-free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's crown. His head with radiant glory crowned, his lips with praise are full. His lips with praise are full. To Him I owe my life and breath, and all the joys I have. He makes me triumph over death, and saves me from the grave, and saves me from the grave.
The law of God not only has a very obvious meaning, but it includes a lot more than that obvious meaning. For example, every prohibition of the law implies a contrary precept. Then every commandment is actually a representative of an entire class of duties. Not only that, every command of the law of God includes all the means that lead us to observe the precept or the prohibition. In other words, the law includes not only what is obvious, but also everything that incites us to do what the law commands or the law forbids. Now that has a very wide application. That brings our total life under the divine statute. Think it through now. I want you to think of this tonight. This is the spirituality of God's law in the scope of its statutes. When the law of God says, thou shalt not do this, it also means thou shalt maintain an absolute separation from everything that tends toward that thing, from everything that would be a means to the commission of that sin, for everything that would incite you toward that sin. When you think of it that way, what we watch, what we read, and what we listen to comes under the law of God. There are so many people who say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about this, or it doesn't say anything about that, or it doesn't mention this, or it doesn't mention... Just stop and think. When God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, or thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, anything that incites you away from God comes under that command. Anything. You take what you watch in television, you take what you listen to in music, you take what you read in literature, and I don't care if it's a penny thriller or if it is one of the great works of art, does it lead you Godward or sinward? And you'll know whether it comes under the prohibition of that first commandment or no. This takes in where you go, the kind of company you keep. And if I could touch a very delicate area, it has much to say with what you wear. You see, the Bible that says thou shalt not commit adultery says if thou shalt look with lust, that is adultery. Do you figure for a moment that the young woman who dresses immodestly or provocatively in order to be seen is not breaking that same commandment? Whatever incites to sin is itself sin. What we wear is not merely a matter of fashion. It is a matter of obedience to God. And remember that clothing was not invented by man. It was invented by God for the covering. And notice the word I'm using, for the covering of the body brought into shame by the existence of sin. And clothing is meant to be a covering, not an exposure. God's law affects every area of life. You remember what Proverbs 1 says in verse 10 and then verse 15, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We can say that concerning every incitement to evil, every incitement to the breach of the law of God. If anything or anybody incites you toward breaking God's law, listen, walk not thou with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. This is the spirituality of the statute of God's law. The third thing I'll point out is that the law is spiritual in the stringency or strictness of its standards. In every area, the law of God knows only one standard. Absolute perfection.
It knows no compromise. Why? Because it reflects the absolute holiness of God. God's absolute holiness cannot accommodate itself to lower standards. God's holy law cannot lower the standard. There is no provision whatsoever in the being of God or in the law of God for lowering the standards of the strictness of God's law. Absolute, total, unblemished perfection or eternal destruction. Galatians 3:10. It is written, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." The Lord Jesus summarized this in Matthew 22. This is the standard of the law according to Christ. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment of the law. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What is the standard of God's law? Perfect, selfless love for God and man. That is the spirituality of the law in the strictness of its standards. But finally, the law is spiritual in the satisfaction of its sentence. Follow me carefully here, because here we reach to the depths of hell. But thank God, here we find the door to heaven. The law carries heavy sanctions and dreadful penalty. Sometimes the sanction of the law is immediate. Some men's sins are open before they get to the grave, and there is an immediate execution of the sanction of the law even before they reach eternity. Sometimes the sanction of the law comes in the form of human justice from the courts of the land. But whether these catch up with a man in this life or not, the law of God will execute its penalty in full. Hear that. There is no exception. There is not a sin in the history of this world but that the law of God will execute the penalty against it in full. That penalty is not merely temporal, but eternal. We have read tonight in Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." What is the sanction of the law? Exclusion from the kingdom of heaven. Verse 29:30, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee." Why? Why would a man go to such a terrible length? The Savior says, it's profitable for you to go through this life lacking a physical member than to be cast into hell. What is the sanction of the law? The whole man being cast into hell. Can that be the teaching of him whose name is love? It's a very solemn thing. If you take all that the Bible teaches on hell, the Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than all the other New Testament preachers put together. There's wisdom in that. Because while all Scripture is inspired, I think human nature would rebel against such an awful teaching, except in the lips of the God-man Himself. What is the sanction of the law? Sometimes it is temporal. Sin finds people out in their body. It finds them out in their family. It finds them out often in their children. It finds them out in their business. It finds them out in broken lives and broken minds and broken hearts. But whether it does these things or no, it finds them out in the torments of a lost eternity. Hell is real. Hell is real. It's not the figment of some priestly imagination. It is the revelation of the God of truth. The law is spiritual in the sentence that it demands for its satisfaction. You know, if that were all the message of the law of God, it would be bleak indeed. And if you have felt something of the bleakness and the terror and the awfulness of the spirituality of God's law, I thank God for it. For it is a bleak and terrible truth unless you grasp one last theme here. There is an additional theme. The law declares its spirituality not only by executing an eternal justice on the sinner, but by receiving a vicarious or substitutionary obedience from Christ for all believers. The law is spiritual because it is, if I could personify it, it is willing to receive from Christ a perfect obedience, a perfect satisfaction, and make a gift of that to every believer. Galatians 3:13 puts it this way: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This morning we thought a little of the work of the cross. Here is the inner meaning of Calvary. On that center cross and the preternatural darkness of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ hung there a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He had lived a life of perfect obedience to the precept of God's law, and now He dies a death to satisfy the penalty of that law. There in Calvary's darkness, Jehovah took the glittering sword of the justice of God's law and He thrust it into Christ. The Lord Jesus took the pain and the wrath and the alienation that was the sinner's due. He took all that the wrath of God could pour upon Him. And in the words of one poet, in one almighty draught, He drank damnation dry. The law of God, received from Christ a vicarious satisfaction for all believers. Paul puts it this way: by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By Adam's fall, we were constituted sinners, and we have lived in sin, and we die in sin, and in Adam we must be damned in sin. But oh, here's the gospel. Even so, by the righteousness of one, namely Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What a glorious gospel this is. Once again, as we have seen in the first couple of studies, the message of the law leads us to Christ. As I thought of this, I realized Christ bore the scrutiny of the law. That searchlight of the law of God searched through the actions of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the feelings of Christ, the very soul of Christ. He bore the scrutiny of God's law. And the law found nothing but sinless perfection. He obeyed the statutes of God's law. He fulfilled the strictest standards of God's law. And then he suffered the fullness of the sentence of God's law. And here in Christ is God's one way of salvation. Romans 4 verse 5 has an amazing statement. To him that worketh not. I love that. How could God say to a sinner as vile and filthy as you or I, if you do this or that, you'll get to heaven? What can I do but sin? Everything that I do is tinged with my sinfulness, my sinful nature, my imperfection. The holiest thing I have ever felt or thought is yet riddled with the wickedness and the depravity of my own being. How could I ever have any hope if God said, do this and live? I must be damned irretrievably in hell. But all the gospel is to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth, listen, the ungodly. My mind boggles at those words. The holy God of absolute perfection justifies the ungodly. And when he does so, he counts his faith for righteousness, or as Paul interprets that, he imputes to that man the absolute righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel. God justifies sinners. Not by lowering the standards of the law, but by fulfilling them. He justifies the ungodly legally. How does he do it? By the righteousness of Christ. How do you receive that? By faith without works. I said at the beginning, if you have never begun to feel the reality and wickedness of sin, you need to stand in two places. And I have sought with all I can, with all the mental and physical energy of which I am capable, I have sought tonight to make you stand in those two places. At Mount Sinai, to hear the thunder of the law's proclamation, and at Mount Calvary, to see the evidence of the law's penalty, and to know the sole and single way of grace. If tonight, at Mount Sinai, you stand convicted of sin, I pray, God, you'll stand in the shadow of that cross. you'll lift your eyes to that Christ, and you'll cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Justify me, the ungodly, by faith in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.